everyone. It's good to be with you here today on this wonderful hot Sabbath day to worship the Lord together. And I also wanted to share with you the fact that we're going to have a good time here today studying the scriptures. Got everything working. It's all good. And it's good to be with you here today too. Let's go ahead and pray as we start our study today. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and your grace and for the mercy you've given each one of us. And today as we study in this last invitation in the scriptures, I pray that you would give us a new feeling of our responsibility and of the hope that we share. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many of you have ever received an invitation? Whoa, nobody here has ever received it. Just a couple, a handful of you. Whoa. You know, I'll guarantee you that every single one of you have received an invitation. We receive them all the time, don't we? Credit card companies call us on the, you know, they send us offers in the mail. We get all kinds of spam. Timeshare resorts want us to come and stay. Telemarketers, you name it. We are constantly being flooded with invitations. In fact, I would claim to you that invitations are the background noise of your life right now. There's not one of you here that doesn't have them. In fact, I think that when the mail comes to your house, like my house, it's a process of eliminating invitations, isn't it? Constantly, you know, okay. Nah, 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 nah. And there's something about invitations. There's some invitations that you get that you love to have. For example, the business leader who's invited to go to Hawaii and speak at a conference, all expenses paid. Right? Would you like that invitation if that was you? Sure you would. There's other invitations. For example, the invitation like the one that you don't understand. Imagine a little boy. He comes over to a sign on the wall, and it's a circus is coming to town, and he's looking at the invitation. It says, free. And he rushes off to tell everybody, the circus is coming and it's free. But he doesn't read at the bottom. It's free if you go to there was a sponsor that sponsored the circus, and you got to go to the sponsor's store and get the special pin. And if you get that special pin, then you can come into the circus. You know, it's important that we understand the invitation that we're receiving, isn't it? That we understand it well enough that we can actually respond to it. And friends, what we're studying today is literally the last invitation made in the Bible. It says in the book of Revelation, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let the one who hears come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost come. You know, in the next few weeks, for the larger Seventh-day Adventist Church, this worldwide movement that we're in, we're about to see the coming together of all the Adventist leadership at a place called the General Conference Session, the 60th of those, and it's going to start here really soon, July 2nd, next week, San Antonio. Interestingly, the theme of this is Arise, Shine, Jesus is Coming. And when you think about that, that is the greatest invitation ever given, isn't it? To tell people about Jesus is coming. In fact, what we really do here on a daily basis in our lives is to prepare other people to meet Jesus. That's really what we're all about. And when we're preparing them, we're giving them an invitation, aren't we? We're saying to them, I'd like to invite you to know about Jesus and his atoning blood, and the justification that you get received by faith alone. But on top of that, Revelation tells me, then chapter 14, that there are three things you need to know. You need to know actually who God is, and you need to worship him as creator. Those great last day messages that go along with the everlasting gospel of justification by faith alone. And, you know, this invitation that we're giving out is critical. I think that we see in the signs around us, in the landscape of our culture, that the end is near. Even the weather itself that we're experiencing is crying out. You know, Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 8, about how the creation itself is groaning. And I believe that what we experience in these crazy weather occurrences is the groaning of creation, sharing with us that we're really close and that this invitation is really important. And so what I want to do for a few moments is go through this text very briefly and look at this invitation to share so that we can see it in a little different light and that we can apply it to all that we do today. So let's start. If you've got your study sheet and you've got it out here, if you don't have one, raise your hand and the deacons will run around and give you one. The study sheet says, if what you need to do when you have an invitation, you need to personally know the one who makes the invitation. You need to know the one that you makes the invitation. It says here in chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, I personally, like you, get a lot of junk mail, but even if I get junk mail, I'm willing to look at the junk mail if it's somebody that I know. Aren't you? You get something in the mail from, say, Amazing Facts, and you say, well, I know them. I'll look at Amazing Facts. And interestingly enough, the Spirit and the bride are probably the two least known to people living in our culture today. Wouldn't you say that? So the question really is who is this bride? Let's take a look here for just a moment. Write this down. The bride represents the realization of all our hopes. Turn with me in the scriptures for just a moment to Revelation 21, which just flip the page back here. And let's take a peek at the bride for a moment. Chapter 21, verse 9 says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and spoke to me, saying, so here we've got this angel that's just poured out all these bowls of wrath on Babylon. You know, the plagues were designed for Babylon. And he says, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, crystal and jasper, with very high walls. And it goes into this great detail about the size and the scope and the beauty of this city. And then it says its foundation stones and all this. And it come to chapter 21 and verse 22, and it says, and I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So there in this city, we find the presence of God. And then in chapter 22, it says that there's a river of water of life, clear as crystal. In the middle of the street, there is a tree of life with all 12 kinds of fruits and leaves that were for the healing of the nations. So really, what is the bride? The bride here is the representation of all of our hopes. The bride represents the fact that sin is going to end. It's the final point, the new heavens and the new earth. It is the Eden restored. It's the great controversy ended. It is the presence of Christ. It's the end of the battle and the beginning of eternity. You know, the New Jerusalem really represents the culmination of all our hopes. The bride is the culmination of the hopes that we find in the Scriptures. The new in New Jerusalem means it's totally new in quality. It's not like anything else. In fact, the people that are in it, which would be you, aren't going to be like you are today either. You're going to be totally new. Are you looking forward to that? You're going to be able to be in glorified bodies, free from death, free from pain, free from suffering. You know, I love what it says in 1 John 3, 2-3. It says, beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we will be. We know that when he appears, Jesus, second coming, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself even as he is pure. And so really what's going on here is that the bride represents the culmination of all our hopes. Where do we see this picture of the bride? Well, write this down. It's the scriptures and prophecy that really are the witnesses through which the bride becomes known. You see, just as Paul said, that eye has not seen and ear heard what God has planned for those that love him, it's through the scriptures then that we become aware of and we become knowledgeable of this bride, this culmination of all the hopes that we have as Christians. And so it's from then the scriptures, we hear the shout to come. Isn't that right? All right, write this down. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the evangelist that convicts the world of our need for Christ. It says in John 16:8, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning what? Sin and righteousness and judgment. You know, when we think about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we read about it in John, primarily what we see is a ministry to each one of you, to teach and to guide, to direct, to fill, to bring Christ's presence into your life. But here to the culture and at large, the Holy Spirit makes an invitation through the conviction that there is a great need for Jesus, that we need Jesus, and that all of us are in need of Christ. And the reason that the Spirit and the bride work together here in this scripture is because they work together, don't they? They make this invitation openly and together. We never see that to people out there, the scriptures and the Spirit are working. I love this story. You've probably heard about it. It was in the Signs of the Times magazines, one of our magazines, August 1988 edition, talked about one of the most dramatic examples of where the Spirit and the bride that did just wonderful work. And his story is about the mutiny on the Bounty. Have you heard that? Many of us have heard this real true story of a guy named Captain Bligh, a notorious captain, whose men rebelled against him, and on the island of Tahiti, and 9 murderers along with Tahitian men and women who accompanied them escaped from Tahiti and went over to Pitcairn Island, which was really like what was like, what, 2 miles long, 1 mile wide. And there in the story, the mutiny on the Bounty, then we read the rest of the story, if you will, how after 10 years of drinking and fighting and all this kind of debauchery that these guys did, they were only left with 1 man, 11 women, and some kids alive on this island. And the man's name was, see if I got it right here, his name was Adams. And interestingly enough, after all that had happened 10 years later, that's where the story ends. We don't get any more of the story. But the after story is what the Signs of the Times brought us. Turns out that this man, Adams, happened to go through the chest of the Bounty that they had stolen, and in the bottom was the scriptures, the Bible. And there on that island, the Holy Spirit and the scriptures worked in this man's life and converted his heart to Christ and overcame this hardened murderer on this volcanic rock into someone who was now a servant of Christ. It was written that after all those years into the modern centuries when they wrote this article in the 1980s, there were only 100 people living on that tiny island, and all of them were Christians. There had been an incredible change that had happened. And why was it? It was because of the work of the Spirit and the bride, the two things that we have and we hold most dear as Christians. But you know, for most of the world, I'm going to share with you, I thought about this, and it's so true, that for most of us that are out there today, the Spirit and the bride are hard for them to reach the people, isn't it? Because, I mean, think about it. Almost as if we're all in the Mall of America. If you've ever been to the Mall of America, it's the largest shopping mall in the world. And there, they have every single kind of store. And that's the way it is with us. We're traveling through our lives, and we go to the employment store, right? We've got the family store. We got the religion store. We got the kids got to go to soccer store. We got the, you know, party store. We got all these different stores, and we're walking by as our lives go past. You know, some people have different stores that they want to go into. And as they're going by, one of the stores that's got the Holy Spirit and the Scripture standing there calling and beckoning this invitation. See, the invitation here is come. Come. But the problem is they're not listening, are they? And I believe the reason for that is that God didn't just leave it to the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to do the work. There's one more. And that's this. The people involved in giving this last invitation are the ones who understand it. It says here in this last invitation, and let the one who hears come. You know, in the book of Revelation, the way you hear something is really important. For example, Revelation 2:1, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Or maybe you look at Mark 4:33, where it says, with many such parables he was speaking the word to them so far as they were able to hear it. And we're not talking now about physically being able to hear something. We're talking about being able to understand what you're hearing. And right now, friends, the one who's giving this invitation, let him who hears say, come, is the one who understands the invitation. How many of you can say that's you today? I understand the invitation. Well, then guess what? Write this down. This isn't a request. If you understand this invitation, then this last scripture and text in the scripture says it's not a request. It says, let the one who hears say, command, say, come. You know, I thought about this. How quickly could it be that everyone on this planet could hear something? To be invited to something. How quickly could it happen? You know, I was reading an article from our ministerial secretary, Jerry Page. He once wrote that he asked leaders in Africa, if we had an incredible event, earth-shaking event, for example, like the death of our president, if we had an event like that, how long in the deepest and most remotest parts of Africa would it take, do you think, for everyone to hear that message? And as he's asking these leaders, they came up to the conclusion that it would take at a maximum about a week. And everyone in Africa would have heard the news. You know, we are living in a time when the three angels' messages could go incredibly fast throughout the world if there was just some major paradigm-shifting event that happened in the world, that everyone would hear it. But the question is this, and I'm going to ask it to you. Why is God not doing that? Aren't you ready to go home? Shouldn't it happen immediately? Why is God not using this spectacular for people to suddenly get this invitation and it's all done? Well, here's the reason why I believe this is true. When you think about it, we're living in a time when information can so rapidly transform the planet and go to every part of the planet. But at the same time, that information is going to be parsed by media pundits. Isn't that right? It's going to be blogged by various people. It's going to travel through and become the noise that basically makes our background of our life. How many of you have smartphones or know anything about the modern media today? Yeah, if you're connected with the modern media, you know that everything comes through a news cycle. Bam, gone. Blogged on. Everybody makes a little comment on it. And then it becomes the noise of life. And I believe that the gospel, that God doesn't want this last invitation to go out with some spectacular for this one reason. He wants it to come to the people in this world through somebody who understands it. He doesn't want it to come through some media pundit writing a little story. He doesn't want it to come through some blogger. He doesn't want it to come through some noise that you hear on the news. He wants it to come from somebody who actually understands the message. And if that's you here today, then God is speaking to you. Because it has to be someone who is impacted by it. God doesn't want this invitation to simply to become part of the noise of life. And in his mercy, he asks the one who hears to carry out the invitation, to teach people and reach people for Jesus. You know, I recently read an article in the Ministry Magazine about, they asked an interesting question, because the whole magazine was about the second coming, and the article said, how is it that we can hasten Jesus' coming? What can we do? And as this author, Elizabeth Ostring, was writing this, she writes, well, you know, Jesus asked us to go, but he didn't give us specific strategies except in chapter 25. In chapter 25 of Matthew, suddenly Jesus gives us some strategies. Number one is the parable of the 10 virgins. What's the strategy? Be ready, be filled with the Spirit, right? Then there was the parable of the talents. What's the strategy? God's given everybody these talents, and he's looking to see who's using these talents, right? So we should be busy using the gifts that we've been given. If we've got a gift, we should be using that gift, right? And then the last one, of course, is the most dramatic, we see this judgment of the sheep and the goats. And we look at the sheep and the goats. And suddenly we're confronted with the reality of the living out of Christ's life in the world. How are we living out what Jesus does in the world? Are we the sheep or the goats? Are we the ones that are doing something in this world to make a difference for another person or not? Like visiting the sick or the person in the jail or whatever. And the interesting thing about the article that struck me was that all of these things that we see as the strategy of giving this information, this invitation to people, all of these things are just the ordinary things that Christians do because they're Christians. You see, the ordinary Christian, just a Christian, is filled with the Spirit. That's a gift from God. It has to happen. The ordinary Christian is given gifts, and they're using them. The ordinary Christian sees the needs of others and is meeting them just as Jesus met them. These are just the ordinary things that we do. And this is the strategy that Jesus had. You see, the invitation that we have for the world has to come from somebody who's just doing the ordinary things that Christians do. That's God's strategy. He wants us to be those people. And this is the surprise. You know, if you have the gift of preaching and teaching and understanding the Bible, then you have the obligation here of starting a class, of teaching somebody else, of doing something to share it. If your gift is something else, hospitality, if it's an invitation, you live that out. Maybe you're going to live out Jesus just in your workplace, where you've got people you work with that act like the devil. But yet you're responding to that with love. Or maybe you're a business person. And you know you can make a little money if you just add a little bit of weight to the balance. But you know, as a Christian, you want to make sure that everybody that you see gets to see Jesus in your business. See, every single day in every single way, the ordinary things that Christians do give the invitation to the world that they need it, Jesus. And working alongside them is the Spirit and the Bride. And all of them work together. And here's why we need it, friends. Write this down. While the nature of the command is ordinary, the urgency is now. You know, it says here, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears. Every bit of this is in the present tense imperative. These things are happening now. The urgency in this text is today. It's now. Don't wait. These things are happening today. They're happening now. And the reason that it's so important that we are part of this now and today is this. And I'll write this down. I did pretty good, man. I got you guys out right at noon. Should be. I know it's hot. But here's the reason. This is why it's so important. The last invitation is needed because there are people who are willing to respond today. And here's where you find that in the text. Revelation 22:17. It says, and let the one who is thirsty, that's a participle, they're thirsting right now, come. Let the one who wishes, that's a participle, they're wishing right now to take the water of life without cost. Here's the point. There are people that you're going to bump into tomorrow or Monday at work or whenever you go or whatever you do. You're going to bump into people that may be thirsty that moment. And you're the one through whom the invitation comes. Just doing the ordinary things Christians do. Or you may just say, well, I'll save that for later. I'm in a bad mood. I had a bad day. I don't feel like it. I'm not comfortable. And that moment for those persons is gone. You see, they're thirsting now. They're wishing now, but they may not be wishing tomorrow. And so my point is that the urgency is when? It's today. And so here we have, friends, an incredible incredible text. The last invitation. The Spirit and the bride, they're saying, come. People are thirsting for an invitation. They're wishing for an invitation, but it's going to who is it going to take? Is it going to take a special evangelist? Who's it going to take to give the invitation? Do we have to hire somebody special to do it? Who is it going to be that gives the invitation? Answer me. Who is it? Thank you. It's you. If you're a Christian, it's you. And it happens through the ordinary things that Christians do. And I'm going to share this last thing with you. I want to take us now for a moment to Jesus. We're all there together now. And there's Jesus waiting in heaven to see you. And if you read the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus, basically the people that are confronted with this, the sheep, go to Jesus and say, Jesus, when in the world did I see you without clothes and clothe you? When did I see you in prison? What? When did I see this happening? And the answer really is, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. In other words, the people who are giving this invitation aren't even knowing that they're giving it, because they're just being real. They're just being Christians. They're just going about in their everyday lives, and they're just doing what Jesus asked us to do. You know, friends, the Spirit and the bride, they're actively working today. What about you? If you'd like to be a Christian willing to give this last invitation through all that you are, I'm going to ask that you stand with me as we sing this closing song, one of my favorite closing songs. It's called We Have This Hope.